it's Dad's turn. Today is Father's Day. Amen. We're going to observe some our awesome father. So happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Again, happy Father's Day. If I missed you when you were coming up, give him a hand. I'll say it again. If you want to bless your father today, send him on a great trip this week to Lake Skinner and hook him up with a little reminders of just how much he means to us with special notes of love. I mean it. Get in there, kids or whatever. Right, honeys, wives, whatever. Make sure you get something in there. Just to let them know. It's the little things. And probably the most important thing is the treats. Make sure that they have treats as they go. Listen them little things, gummy bears, stuff like that. Just to remind them of how comfortable and cushy it is at home. Amen. And these little things tell us. These little things tell us that our wives love us and our kids love us. Amen. Sour Patch gummies. Sour Patch. Sour. Celery? Are you sending your husband? You better send him some gummy bears, straight up. Now, listen, he's going to come back a better father and a better man than he left, amen, and full of the Holy Spirit. When we come back, we're going to just be full of the Holy Spirit. We are. It happens every time, amen. So praise God. We have something special for our fathers today after the service, so please stick around, fathers. The title of today's message is, In My Father's House. In My Father's House. And it's important that we understand here, these are the words of Jesus. He spoke this. Also, many men of God before, in the Old Testament, this was a verse used. It was a powerful verse talking about authority. There's authority in my Father's house. Jesus said it, in my Father's house, there was a set of authority. And that's what fathers are in our lives today. They're a figure of authority. Amen? We're not seeing a whole lot of it in the world today. Matter of fact, the Bible was so clear. Early in the Bible, he talks about returning our fathers to the fatherless. Amen. There's scriptures in there that speaks about the times today. Too many grandparents, too many other people are raising the children, our children today. Our fathers don't know how to be fathers and things that are going on. But the father figure is always a figure of authority. It's supposed to be. And fathers, we need to understand something. Sometimes it's tough being the authority in the house, but we need to do it. Can I get an amen? So anyway, in my Father's house, these words, Jesus shows us how much confidence Jesus has in his Father to be able to take care of anything should it happen. Jesus says, in my Father's house, and his representation of this meaning that I know that I'm not only here on my own authority, but whatever happens in God's house, it's going to be done. Whatever God says he's going to do, he is going to do it. There's a scripture in the Bible says that his word does not return unto him void. So this is important that we understand something here today. Whatever God speaks, it's going to happen. God doesn't fail. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't just say things to encourage you to get you over the hill. Oh, you're going to make it because this is how he don't lie. Pete was talking about little white lies and good lies and stuff. And sometimes those kind of lies, but they're sin. And he was talking about repentance and stuff. And sometimes we will do things to encourage somebody, and we don't have the answer. My wife once told my daughter, our daughter, that she was going to have a little girl. Well, Drew was born. The Lord said, and right when she said it, I looked at her and said, don't do that. Well, they didn't want to have any more kids, but Drew was born. And he is the light of the world in that family. He is. Everybody that knows Drew, you meet him and right away you see something in him because God's in him. He's going to be a preacher. He said when he grows up, he's going to be one of two things, a pro baseball player or a pastor. You know, amen? So hallelujah. Let's see here. Where did it go? My wife always says, if anything should happen and we're not together, find me. She feels the security that she has when if something were to happen. She always says that. If there's an earthquake, you better come and get me. If anything always happens, why? Because she has a security in the father, in the husband, in the man figure. There's a security. She always says, whatever's going on, I feel safe around you. I said, probably because they can't see you around me. No, but she knows, you know, and that's how we are. Men, we've got to sit with our backs towards the door. Women don't understand that. We're watching all the time. She always says, where do you want to sit? It's because it's something that's built in within us. It is. where we want to see what's going on. In case something goes to the door, these guys sit here so they can watch these doors. There's a reason. Not that they're sitting in a place of authority. They're prettier than the rest of you. Though they are pretty handsome, that's not what it's about. It's about a security figure. It's about authority in our life. And God puts things and people in our lives. Amen? But notice the emphasis on my Father's house, meaning we are safe in my Father's presence. In my Father's house. Today is the day to show father figures how important they are to us. It's to recognize our fathers and spiritual fathers for the things they do to raise us up and to be the people that we are and will become. Spiritual fathers are put in our life just as important as fathers. And I think of Joseph and his job. Can you imagine him being in love with this girl? All of a sudden she turns up pregnant. And no, there was no Jerry Springer then. Praise God. And Joseph be doing the honorable thing because God came to him and said, this is what it is and this is how important it is. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not a father, but being a spiritual father is just as important as being a natural father. It's something that God instituted today. So it's not just about being a father. It's about being that security figure. It's about being that example. Men, that's what we are. We're to be that example to the family. We're to be that example for those that are coming up. We're to be that example of what success is. Not being rich and not being that, but to be successful is to be loved and to have honor and to do the honorable thing. And that's what fathers are. Can I get an amen? In my Father's house, Jesus is sharing the security of his presence, something that God has prepared so that we are not worried about our future. Go with me to John 14. Open your Bibles this morning. Oh, bring your Bibles and read your Bibles. I know we have our electronic, and my wife gets on me about my phone all the time, but I'm glad I have it. But if you have your Bible, write in it. If you don't have your Bible and you use your phone, take the backside of one of these and write down these scriptures. I guarantee you the Lord will take you back to it during the week. There might be something, you know, because we're tendency, electronics has tendency to run our lives. You know, we're going to be on this television show, and you're going to be able to see that, or you can hear the message later. And praise God they're recorded, because all the ladies that have worked so diligently in our children's department, that's the way they hear the message. But we have a Bible for a reason. That's our sword, and we should know how to maneuver it. Amen? And if you don't learn the books, Big Jim used to say, Jim Conrad used to say, learn the books, learn the books. And so you need to learn to maneuver. It's like a ninja, you know. He just didn't get out there one day and start swinging a sword. He cut his toe off. Come on. You got to learn to use it. John 14:2 says that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Fatherly examples are so important as a figure to our children. And that's what's happening in the world today. The things that are being said to be okay are not okay. Fathers are those ones that stand their ground when everything else looks like it's going awry. You know, and so often we say, well, that's the way the world is to now, and things are even being changed in religion because the way the world is changing so rapidly. But the father figure is the one that says, this is wrong and we're going to stand my ground. Today, fathers, we need to stand our ground. We are those figures in people's life, in our children's life, and even in the ones at work. I guarantee you, some of the people hate the person you are, but they respect who you are on the job because you have an authority about you. You have an aura, which is called the Holy Spirit. It dwells with us. Amen? I'm so glad that the Pope and the Vatican this week took a stand on homosexual and transgender lifestyles. The sin is against God's will. It's basically what he said. You know, the Pope, no less. But praise God. Praise God that they took a stand. You know, they weren't coming against this or that. You know, anybody, you can live your life anyway, not in the same way. You live your life any way you want. Go ahead. You're not going to bother me. I'm going to pray for you because I want to see you saved or whatever. But everyone has the right to live their life the way they want. But don't expect to get the things of God when you live a life that is not godly. It's basically how it is. He gave his life for everyone, but there's something to be said by that. There's things, there's rules involved. There's an authority over it. And when we live a lifestyle, it's not about God. We can't bring the two in together. They do not dwell together. And yet we're trying to do it today. Their lifestyles tear down the moral fabric of the world. It's against the word of God. Yes, everyone has the right to live any way they desire, but it has no place in the Father's house unless repented. Get the message from Thursday night. It's talking about repentance and how important it is. You know, we can go on sometimes. You know, we ever get a nail in your tire and you hear it. But unless you fix that nail in your tire, one day you're going to be stuck on the side of the road. And this is what sin does to us as well. We know we're doing it, but we continue to ride on it. And then one day it will catch us up to a way where you're stuck out somewhere where we cannot. Can I get an amen? Repentance is the same thing. As soon as we do it, we're repairing what we have in a relationship. No, it's not a reason just to sin and say, okay, I'm going to do it. Well, I'm going to go have a few beers, God, and then I'll come to church and repent. It doesn't work that way. True repentance is from the heart. It's when we know we're doing wrong and we're done. I like what Pete said. It's not rededicating our life. It's repentance. It's not rededicating our life. It's starting over. It's basically saying, I'm not doing that anymore, because we can get caught up in a trap. Come on. Good fathers instill good things. Look at the prodigal son. When he found out how cutthroat the world was, the son, he knew that there was life in his father's house. You know, what we instill in our children is going to bring them to life later on. We might not think our kids are listening. We just think that that box of cereal is so much important in our voice sometimes. Come on. They only read it every day. And we can talk to them all day and they're like, wait. But our kids are listening. They're like the flies on the wall. They're in our house and everything we do. Fathers, whatever we do, know that it's being seen and heard. You know, when you know that you're being heard, you change your thing. There was a couple girls that committed murder. And they were, oh, they killed their mother. In front of the police. And then the cops went out. They were like, and then one of them noticed there was a camera in the room. And then one looked at him, she went, oh, and the other one goes, what are you doing? Like looking around. And then she showed her the camera. The other one started to cry. But don't you know that something is always watching us? Come on, Dad. Come on, Moms. Sometimes we think we're all alone and we say something and then Karen laughs or says something. Where's Karen? She's at her dad. She's in church with her dad today. Or Josh or someone else. You know, you don't get away. We don't get away with nothing. I like to kid around sometimes, and some things, if some people heard what I said, they go, that pastor's so wrong. And I kid around just to get something out of her. I'll say something. I put the hot dogs, I put the bratwurst on yesterday, and I know my wife, she wants everything nucleified. Okay? So I put the hot dogs on there. I said, give me a plate, they're done. I mean, in 2 minutes. She went off. Just went off. No, no, they're not. No. We do things sometimes to do some things. But know that everything we do has consequences. You know, because I came out talking about she's stealing something out of it. Don't be stealing my stuff. My neighbor's right there looking at me. Don't you steal that. I told, hey, Chuck. I said, my wife's a thief. Don't know my. But everything we do has a consequence. I'm sure that Abraham was criticized for how he parented. Can you imagine? The people would say, what kind of person would take a knife to their child and sacrifice their children for God? What kind of father would do that? We all know the story of Abraham, don't we? We should. Read your word, because he's a very important person. Well, I didn't grow up with my father. And as I fathered my children, I really wasn't there for them. But as we grow in God's grace, I am becoming a better father than I ever was yesterday. Every day I'm becoming a better father. Just this week I apologized to my sons. I wrote a text because I'm so bold to call them. I wrote a text because every time I call them, they don't answer. Anybody else? Don't they know this is a telephone? So I sent a text to my sons and I said, I want to apologize because in the early years you lost me to drugs, and it seems like now in my former years you've lost me to church. And I just wanted to say I love you, that you're the most important things in my life. And you know that they both responded with a great return. They called, they said, no, Dad, We love you. And they just explained everything that one of my son, Adam, he even said, it's partly more my fault that I haven't been a good son than you've been a good father. You have tried, but I haven't put much in. But I'm going to work at it now, he said. Amen? But it's important, fathers, that we do these things. That we just don't draw a line and say, this is my way and that's it. My way or the highway when it comes to that. We're examples and we need to raise our children. We need to make them are you a good parent? Do you feel that you're a good person? I got knows. I know those who labor among me. I know most of you, some of you, one of you. And you're good people. You're good people. You're good-hearted. You do good things. You raise your kids. You do things. I see the way we are, church. I know the way it is. And when we do that, do our kids see us as that same person, or do they just see it as that churchiated person? See, in my kids' life, they know I'm a better person. I'm not all drugged up. I'm doing some stuff. I'm secure. I can help them. I get them what they want. I do some things like that. But am I a better person? They don't know. But they do know. Because they love you. It's important today, listen to me, that their children love you and that you love your children. It's Father's Day. Our children and our church life and ministry shouldn't lose us to our children. Come on. Well, Pastor, my children don't want to go to church. I know it's a struggle at times. I know it's tough. But listen what the alternative is. Listen to what the alternative is. I'm sure when Isaac saw his father with that knife lifted above his head, he was very confused about the things of God. Sometimes our kids are very confused about the things of God. I don't want to go down there. My friends don't go to church. None of them go. Why should I have to go? It's vacation, summer. There should be 3 months without God. Come on, we've all heard it. Well, they need to sleep in a little bit. They've had a pretty tough. We could find every reason not to make our kids go to church. But what is the alternative? I can only imagine Isaac on that altar looking up with his dad with that knife above his head. He was probably very confused about the things of God. Listen. Unless our children are raised in the church, they will never understand the ram in the bush. That should have been an amen right there, because listen to me. If our kids are not raised in the church, they'll never understand about Jesus Christ paying the price for our sacrifice. Without going to church, they will never understand the stories. You know what? I know more about the things of God now when I hear people preaching, and it wasn't because I read it. It's because of what I've heard and learned in church, or maybe somebody else preaching it. And when our kids go to children's church, most of them are more knowledgeable than we are, because they are being taught tools that will go with them into life. And unless our kids go to church, they will never understand the ram in the bush. Of course, our children don't want to go to church with us. They're friends. The world's not going to church. The devil, watch this, is fighting for our soul, for their souls, just as hard as he's fighting against you. Do you think that all of a sudden this whole battle is just about dads and moms and our kids aren't going through it? No, there is a fight for their souls just as hard as it's coming against you. Every temptation you go through, they're being led by a temptation as well, or just as tough. How will they know? Unless they know the Word of God. But we're learning to defeat the devil, and the world will not teach our children the Word of God. Ephesians 6:1, go with me there. Ephesians 6:1 says this: children, obey your parents and the Lord. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that he may be well with you and you live long in the earth. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me do something here. Let me see if I can fix that. The light wants to get me right there. Here we go. And you fathers, do not provoke your children. Oh, I'm sorry. Which is the first commandment of the promise, that they may be well with you and you will live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonishment and admonition of the Lord. We really need to look a little closer at this scripture right here. Let's examine it in 6:1-6:4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. What's he talking about here? You guys ever just make your kids so angry that you just want to be fit? No. Man, these are strong words, I'll tell you, man. These are fighting words. No. What do you mean? Have you seen the commercial where the kids are blowing up and everything? That's exactly how the world is. The nicotine commercial we talked about a couple weeks ago. Come on. Are children blowing up? Have you ever been like that? We were talking about anger, and aren't we getting like that? That's what's going on in the world today. And it's not just about nicotine. It's about the anger of our children and what's going on. It's happening right in our household. When a word is such as tough as no is said and all breaks loose, no. How dare you, fathers and mothers, say no. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. What does it say? What is it saying? Unless we raise our children to know Jesus, they are doomed. This word provoke means to push. Don't help to push your children to hell. That's all it's saying. Do not provoke your children. He's just saying, don't push your children to hell. And when we allow our children to do whatever they want or live any way they want, that's exactly what we're doing. Remember, we're the examples. We're the security. We're the ones that are up there. We're the moral compass of what our children are. You know, we can't live one way and be talking one way or talking and speaking one way and being here and then living another way. What is it telling our children? We are the moral compass. You know, Isaac didn't turn out to be such a bad father either. And his legacy still lives in our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We read about it all the time. We hear this all the time. We hear it in sayings. We hear it in prophecy. A legacy that's been left. And he wasn't raised so bad. Why? Because he learned they know of the ram in the bush. Do you know about the ram in the bush today? It's because we're in church. If we don't understand it, read it. It's Jesus Christ. He pays our price. And if we don't teach our children to respect the authority of the presence of God in his house, then we're missing it. Our children's group ministry is growing again. Praise God. Within two families, we filled it up again. Glory to God. And there's going to be many more kids coming in here. Our children's children will be in our class. This cannot be the important thing, and that should not be an overflow. I would rather see our children's ministry packed. Listen, what type of legacy are we leaving for our children? Our children are going to struggle at times, but it's how we raise them that will determine the person they will become. Proverbs 10:1 said this, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. On Thursday, I went to the homeless camp and spoke a word to them about being a father. It had already started to eat, and as I began to speak, I started to say, how many of you are your father still alive? And there were some of them. There was about four or five hands. I said, how many of you are fathers here? And almost all the men raised their hand. And I said, what is the relationship with your father today, and what is the relationship with your children? All of them got real just downcast in a hurry. And the first thing was, well, look where we're at. Look where we're at, Pastor. You know, I can't be much of a father where I'm living. And I told him that. I said that this weekend is Father's Day, Sunday's Father's Day. And you know what? It's not important what you've done, how successful you are, or where you live. It's more important that they know that you love them. They don't care that you're not living in a mansion, that you're living in the dirt or however you're living. They just want to know that you're alive and that you really care for them. Thank you, honey. You could have said. I feel like one of those girls with long hair right now. I don't know. Fabio. Listen, it's not the condition we're in, where we're at financially, professionally, that determines their love for us. It's knowing that we love them and that they love us. That's the most important thing. You know, me and my relationship, my sons, both of them busy, they're working. My one son, he never has time. You know, we want to get on golf. The other one called me this morning. He said, you know what, I just love you. I want to spend some time. It's important that he called me early. He said, he's just kind of waiting for me to wake up. But it was the most important thing was that little text that I gave him this week. A little word just to let him know, you are the most important thing today. That this just as it isn't a church day, it's just not another message. It's just not whatever's going on. That I love every one of you, but they need to be just as important as anything else I'm doing. The richest father doesn't make the best dad. It's never about how much money we have. Wisdom is always greater than riches. Titus 2:1 says this, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish young women and love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. That is the word of God, may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Listen, this is important right here. In all things, that you be a pattern of good works. Not one day like this and the next day like this. Not one day being holier than thou and the next day being as evil as they come. The pattern of good works is a lifestyle. We teach our children to live a pattern of good works. Amen? Hallelujah. In doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. These are important things right here. The things that people see of you are the things that will lift your children up or tear them down. It's happened throughout eternity. When my father was in prison his whole life, right away, there's something that's being said right there, that like they are less than. That's not the truth. Because people in prison doesn't determine what kind of father they are. You may not have had everything or your father even with you, but that doesn't determine who you are today. You may have never had a father, but that doesn't determine who you are today. Dads. Because you are the difference in both my sons' life. They are a far better father than I am with their kids. And I told them, you are the best example. You are a good daddy. And it was important for them to hear that. Because where I failed, they have not. You may have had the worst father in the world, but you are not that man. You don't have to be. Because your dad was in prison your life doesn't mean you will have to be in prison your whole life. Verse 9 says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters and be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering or showing, but showing all good fidelity in that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior in all things. It is not what we give our children that will make them. It's what we teach them that will make them successful. Sometimes we feel like, you know what, all the other kids have this. That's not the important thing, that they have it because all the other kids have it. It's not what we give our children. It's not what we do for them. It's not what we just give them. It's what we teach them will make them successful. Tony Britton is one of the elders at CCC, and for many years he was in the legal department with the city. He was doing some, you know, whatever he was doing at the city. He was really strong-willed. He had a stroke. And he will tell you today that it was the most, it was the blessed thing that ever happened to him in his life. He was so hard, so determined, so this, even with his kids and his wife, that it humbled him. And his children grew up to be doctors and everything else. And it wasn't that it was because of his success. It was because of the man that he became once God began to work in his life. See, once God begins to work in our life, we are not who we used to be. We shouldn't be who we used to be. We shouldn't be doing what we used to do. Once God comes in, we make the change. And we become changed. And see, it's not what you did yesterday, it's what you do today is that our children will remember. Come on, dads. Come on, moms. First John 5 and 2 said this, "By this we know we love our children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Let's stand this morning.